going to do this with Stevens or Dimes?
Stevens going to do it.
The next item is trial court trust fund allocations. I think Stephen Chang is going to walk us through this.
Good morning. This is the second action item that you have before you today. You can find the materials and the tables related to this on pages 6 to 13 of the business meeting materials. The decision before you today is to decide whether or not to recommend to the council to retain the 12-13 allocation levels for a number of different reimbursement costs that courts are reimbursed for, totaling $125 million related to the court-appointed dependency council, which is the bulk of it, $103, $104 million. Jury reimbursement for costs related to jurors in criminal cases, self-help centers, monies given to courts for various self-help center activities, reimbursement of replacement screening stations at the courts, as well as reimbursement for elder abuse dependent filings for protective orders. The reason why this item is before you today is either to approve all of those at the current level, or if you decide to have all of them or some of them be reviewed by the expenditure subcommittee that's going to be meeting on August 1st. The focus of these expenditure subcommittee, as Laco has already mentioned, is to review the various projects and programs funded out of that particular fund, the Improvement and Modernization Fund. And the primary reason that that's needed is that the revenues and resources don't support all the current allocations, and they're projecting a negative fund balance by the end of 14-15. And so that's why there's a need to have a review of those projects and programs to cut back on those allocations. There is not a need necessarily for these programs. They're funded out of the trial court trust fund. There's sufficient funding for these programs. And unlike some of the technology, the expenditure and review subcommittee is also going to be reviewing some of the programs and projects funded out of the trial court trust fund, but for technology. And there is a rethinking of how technology should be funded in terms of the trial court trust fund. And not all courts receive that funding. These programs, all courts are eligible and for the most part receive reimbursements every single year at pretty much the same level every single year. Just one other item I want to mention, that there this year the legislature in the Budget Act put in a mandated expenditure of $325,000 for reimbursement of courts for audits that will be performed by the California State Auditor. Originally, they're early in the process, or sometime in the middle of the process, they were going to actually fund with new monies and new expenditure authority. But at the end of the day, when the governor actually signed the bill into law, they required that we use existing resources in the trial court trust fund to pay for these costs.
So I think Stephen raises an interesting question, and that is, and maybe you can address this, Stephen, are there advantages or disadvantages to going forward with these allocations before the expenditure review subcommittee has an opportunity to review them along with all of the other items that are funded out of the trust fund?
One of the advantages is that the earlier that you approve these allocations, the earlier that the program folks can make plans to distribute this funding and make plans for different courts. Also, the courts can have the assurance that they're going to be fully funded for these reimbursement costs. That's probably the main advantage for the courts and for staff.
I think that's a fair point that Tanya raises, that it's not per se fully funded, but it's funded at a level that the revenues have supported. For example, the court-appointed dependency council, that has at one point was at a higher level because there were needs greater than the funding. But this has actually been a reduced level. I think we reduced it by $7 million over two fiscal years. It used to be at $110 million, if I recall correctly, and reduced it because of reduced available resources. So is that the fair representation? But that was based on input from a particular subcommittee at that time as far as bringing them down slowly over a couple of years.
Right. I would say that's true. For the court-appointed dependency council, the $103.7 million doesn't necessarily cover statewide all the costs of the courts related to those costs. As well as the elder abuse, it was an intentional decision to not fully fund the cost for that program.
So I think the advantage is because it's funding
trial court costs as opposed to the other IMF programs are more managed for statewide basis. This is getting the allocations out as soon as the fiscal year, as Stephen said, to allow trial courts to plan on what the level of funding is that's available.
Any questions, thoughts on this?
Well, I have a comment on the dependency when it's time.
Go right ahead.
I guess our dependency lawyers in Los Angeles saw that this was on our agenda, so I got some information from them, and I thought I'd share it. Right now in Los Angeles, at least, and it's probably true in other courts, their funding amounts to about $671 per child. Their attorneys are carrying, this is the Children's Law Center, which are court-appointed counsel for the minors. They're carrying a caseload of 272 children per attorney. The recommendation by the AOC is that it not exceed, it be between 188 and 200 minors per lawyer. They had a 13% jump in the last 3 years, over 3,000 additional children on their workload. They have indicated that they need about $1.3 million additional in order to just meet the new criteria that they have with respect to the new minors. I also received an email from the executive director of Dependency Lawyers, Inc., which contracts with the AOC to provide services to the parents. And they are carrying caseloads averaging 235 to 240. The Blue Ribbon Commission recommended that their caseloads not exceed 141. They also have received an additional 1,500 clients in the last year, more dependency filings. They point out to me, and one of these points out to me, that in New York, they represent half as many children as the Children's Law Center. Their budget is higher than the Children's Law Center, and New York recently passed a caseload cap for dependency attorneys of 125 children per lawyer. So they're doing double what the cap is in New York, and they're more funded. So we should just keep this in mind. I'm not asking for more money for them, but I would say that I would indicate that cutting them would seem to be hurting a lot of people, and that if there is additional money anywhere, that we should look at it with respect to dependency.
Thank you. Sherry Carter.
I was on a subcommittee that looked at the Dependency Council costs and quality of representation, and it was a staged approach. I think Jake, you may have been involved too, but I don't recall for sure. There was a staged approach, and not surprisingly, we found that some counties were paying their attorneys significantly higher than other counties. And so there was a move where we were going to gather statistics to try to shift through a phased approach, sounds familiar, Judge Earl, through a phased approach, shift funding from those courts that were paying significantly higher to their attorneys to the counties that were not, and to allow those counties who had a much higher caseload to be able to hire additional attorneys. I think the group at the AOC was disbanded when we lost a very capable person who was working on that project. I'm looking at her now, so you remember this. But it was a really important work because, again, there was a lot of inequities in terms of how much the attorneys were paid per county and how many people they were representing per county. So I would suggest that you might want to look at a subcommittee being formed to look at this again, because it is something that I think we need to look at from those two different scenarios. One is the quality of the representation, and one is the amount that they're paying the lawyers.
Thank you. Judge Clay?
So, Judge Earl, Don Clay. I serve on as a liaison to the subcommittee, which Judge O'Malley is, I think, one of the chairs. And so this group, and I echo what Judge Wesley has said, this group of lawyers is inadequately underfunded. And looking at statistics, we don't have enough lawyers to do this type of work. And that's why maybe LA has so many additional cases above the threshold that's recommended. The draft program, which I think LA and Alameda County is in, has controlled a lot of the cost. And there are 20 counties involved. Those counties outside of that, they've had problems controlling their costs, but as I understand it, they're eating their costs when these lawyers are exceeding the cost, the money they have available to them. This group is totally inadequately underfunded. $103 million doesn't even come close to what it should be funded in terms of the services to the children and to the parents. This is the exact type of program the legislature is interested in, us making sure that we have funding available to provide these services to the community. I would echo the fact that this now would be the time. This is not, we're not increasing the funding. It's way below the funding that we should be, and I think it would be appropriate to approve this amount of money to this group at this time. That's what I'd say.
Thank you. For purpose, would that be a motion as well?
That would be a motion.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Before we take action, Judge Masanaga?
Well, I just wanted to say, Judge Clay indicated that we don't have sufficient number of attorneys. And in the smaller counties, that's even more exacerbated, simply because the pool of attorneys is so small. And when you have the conflict with just the parents and the indicated some court may be paying more per case simply to have enough adequate representation. But I think in some of the smaller counties, that's even more of a pressing need because you just have such a small pool of attorneys. And then to get them to serve on that kind of a dependency panel with very limited pay, it's even more of a challenge.
Mike?
Are we going to take these in serial fashion, I guess, is the question, or are we going to move this particular item or jury or something and then not move the other items and move them back to the revenue subcommittee? I'm not exactly clear what we're trying to do.
Well, we can take them any way you want, but I can break them down individually if you think that's easier.
I just wasn't sure if that was the plan or not. Because I think in some ways we could make the same argument about the necessity of the level of funding for jury, which is clearly a cost that we're absorbing. Maybe the other ones go back for a review by the subcommittee. I just wasn't sure whether, because I had thought the original idea was that we were going to move this issue to the revenue and expenditure subcommittee for a fresh review. But if we're not going to do that, I just want to be clear what we're doing.
Well, that was my question, is whether or not we should be doing that. Right now, I think the motion that I heard was at least regarding the dependency council that we should approve it at the same level of last year. And I think the option, though, is to take them individually, which I'm happy to do. But why don't we do that? Why don't we – I'll view Judge Clay's motion just relevant to dependency council costs.
That would be the motion.
All right. Jake Chatters, did you have a question? All right. So the motion before us is to is a recommendation that we allocate funding for dependency council as the same level as last year. And there is a second to that. Is there any further discussion on that issue? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. And I've written a note down in terms of a subcommittee for looking at the issue of appropriate funding for dependency council.
It's both funding, and that is related to the number of people that each attorney can represent.
And Judge Earl, just to let you know, the former subcommittee from the trial court budget working group is going to be presenting some recommendations at the next trial court budget advisory committee meeting.
Okay. Thank you. We also have the issue of jury funding. And so the question is, should we allocate funding for jury costs consistent with the amount allocated last year? Mike Roddy?
It seems to me this is another critical operational expense. It's come in at around, if staff report's correct, $15.9 million a year. We've already reallocated the previous amount of money, reflecting the downward trend in jury costs. It seems to me this is a known mandated expense, if you will. Otherwise, it's going to come out of our hide because we're going to continue to have jury trials unless we want to suspend that. And it seems to me prudent that we move this item forward as well.
Second. Is that a motion?
It is. Thank you.
Second.
I think Judge Trenacosta got the second in.
Okay.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next issue is allocating funding for self-help centers at the same level as last year. Any thoughts on that?
Judge?
Yes, David.
The self-help funding is another category, in my view, that is in desperate need of additional resources. Many courts are already supplementing this particular program because of the tremendous value that that we get in return. So I would move that we maintain funding at that same level.
Second.
Who had the second? Judge Schlau. Any discussion? Yes.
The issue as stated was whether or not we should maintain at the current level or be review any of these for possible reductions. I hate to sound like Pollyanna here, but is there any chance there's to be a review for possible increases ever? And in which case are we saying that self-help is never going, would never get an increase during the year if we found other sources?
We still consider that we're going to do the expenditure.
The issue is, generally speaking, we are allocating as much out of the trial court trust fund as we possibly can, and so it is ultimately sort of a mix and zero sum game of, if it's not funded, if we're going to want to increase here, we're going to have to take it from somewhere else, unless there's some funding found elsewhere. So I think what might be is that when we do the expenditure review committee, to the extent that there's any trial court trust fund savings that could be found, that they could be then brought back to augment this. But I think we prefer that at least these base levels get moved and approved now, and to the extent that there's something there, we're augmenting with any additional revenues that we can find.
Okay, fine.
So that would not foreclose any discussion of these programs, right, from the expenditure review discussion.
Okay.
Any other discussion on this issue? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And the replacement screening stations at $2.3 million. Is there a motion as to either maintain that level or to refer it to the expenditure and revenue review committee?
I'll make a motion to maintain it at the current level because I think it's already underfunded. They're supposed to replace these things after 5 years, and they're way beyond that on a lot of them. So I'd say if they're getting any funding at all, we should keep it there because courts are going to need these machines.
Judge Boris?
Yeah, I agree with Judge Wesley. I think this is our first line of defense with respect to security, so I'd second his motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. And lastly would be maintaining the funding for elder abuse cases, right?
Yeah, there's one more that's audits, but we don't have any ability to do that. Yes, so effectively their choice is this one, yeah.
All right. Is there a motion to either maintain it at the existing level or refer it to the review by the expenditure review revenue subcommittee?
Judge, this is consistent with the other items have been presented to us. We're already facing a deficit in this situation. It's another area where, you know, if we're going to do the job, we ought to do it right. We ought to fund it adequately. Mm-hmm. I would suggest it's appropriate to maintain the current level of funding, have the committee take a look at it to see whether there are upward adjustments that need to be made given the caseload. But again, it becomes almost a baseline operational function that the courts are already doing and committing to, and so I would recommend moving this item forward as well.
Second.
Is that you, Mike? Mike Planet with the second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
There's one more that's not written per se, but it's in the chart on page 12, and it has to do with the fact that as part of the budget negotiations in which we had asked the administration and the legislature to eliminate the requirement that we pay the Bureau of State Audits for its auditing of the trial courts for the judicial branch contracting manual. And in their compromise on this, they did make some adjustments to the schedule. They reduced the number of trial courts that are to be audited from a four-year cycle of 14 a year down to 5 every other year. And at one point, there was an actual increase of general fund resources of $325,000 to help pay for that as a limiter on the amount that the BSA could be could seek reimbursement from us. Ultimately, they pulled the money out, but they left this requirement in the budget that says that we shall allocate $325 of our trial court trust fund revenues to the BSA to pay for their costs. So we bring this to your attention in so much as it's information that we are being required to spend $325,000 of our trial court trust fund revenues starting in 13-14 fiscal year. And I think believe there's a requirement we report on those transfers. Yes, Chris.
Chris Volkers. What happened, Sucko, with the bills that are outstanding for all the first round of contract audits, and how are we thinking we're going to pay or not pay those?
As far as I understand it, these are sort of for the audits under future. The new world, mm-hmm. The new regime going forward.
So we still haven't resolved that.
Yes.
Okay.
I had a question, Sucko.
Yes.
David Wesley, on page 13, in your chart at line 54, there's undistributed backfill of $4.7 million for 2011-2012 benefits. Mm-hmm. Is that money going to be distributed to the courts on a pro rata basis?
We were going to distribute them as we had anticipated when the council approved the distribution of the benefit payments in the 12-13 fiscal year. We're just going to distribute them in the way in which they were the surveys collected the costs.
So it is going to be distributed. It's not going to be held.
Yeah, we weren't anticipating it being held. We were going to spend it. We were going to distribute it the way in which the surveys were submitted.
Thank you.
Is that right, Stephen?
That's correct.
Good. So is there? I don't believe, unless Stephen believes, we need to take this to the council as the 325. Does this need to have an action by this group to take the 325 at the end of the July meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
We will.
So then.
Move approval.
Okay. Who is the second?
Tanya.
I'll second it.
We got
Judge Wesley.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
One opposed. Motion